previously on the higher chores.
Where was I? I could smell the elven bread. I could hear the chatter of the people. I could hear the birds singing. Smell the floor arrangement. See the beauty in front of me. But it was a dream. It wasn't real. But it might have been real. Those people. The faces. I've seen them before, haven't I? Dale's seen it before. But it was a dream. It couldn't be. It couldn't be Alamora. I've never even seen it. Or have I?
Listening to The Hired Swords, the D&D actual play podcast rated 5 stars by your mom.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of The Hired Swords. I am your dungeon master, Michael, and with me I have Blaze.
Assad!
He plays Kriggs. And Derek is here?
I am here. That is correct.
And who do you play, Derek?
I play Davin Mindstrider.
That's right. Davin Mindstrider. Ash is here.
Hello.
As always, playing Gwendolyn.
I play Gwyn.
Finally, we have Joxer, or actually his name's Mikey, but he plays Joxer.
Hey, I'm ready for some walking, but let's not forget about Dale.
Yeah, there's also a Dale here. He is only cheep, here cheep. In spirit. Cheep, cheep. Yeah. Don't forget to buy the Dale mug at the hired.store. Just Dale with it. Actually, there's two Dale mugs, right? There's a Dale.
There's going to be a new Dale, one coming out. The new mug of the month will be another Dale mug.
Yeah. It's February. It's a new month.
He is the most marketable member.
He is. Oh, yeah. That's true. Too bad you guys, all you other fools, aren't very interesting.
That's true.
You're not wrong, though.
So I guess by way of recap, I rolled a 12 for recap, so we'll see how this goes. By way of recap, we took a few minutes in the morning at the goblin camp, the goblin village, to kind of check on everybody, make sure everybody was good before the party left. And we had some stuff come out about Gis finding out he had himself a little love interest, and he was apologizing for some stuff the Kriggs possibly caught them into. And so it was kind of a fun little moment there with Kriggs and Gis. And then we had some travel after that. We left and headed north by the northern road straight out of the Goblin Village. On that path, we walked with an uneventful journey and made it to the night with some banter, back and forth conversation, just kind of talking about their time in the Goblin Village and just discussing things like that. And then we ended up at evening time doing some amazing foraging by Kriggs, as well as some brewing by Joxer, sitting around the campfire, enjoying a foraged meal and some drinks, and then going to sleep. During that sleep that night, Gwendolyn dreamt. And she dreamt of a interesting city where she followed actually Dale, a large, like human-sized Dale through this town and saw people all over. And it was this large, beautiful elven city covered in white stone with green and gold trimming. And then she was awakened right at the end. And we pick up right there where Gwyn wakes up. It is just barely sunrise. And who was keeping watch during that? Do you remember?
I was pretty sure it was me.
Yeah. It has been 2 weeks since we recorded. So I'm pretty sure it was Joxer. So he hears Gwendolyn kind of wake up. Gwen, do you wake up with a gasp or anything like that? Or how do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Gwendolyn?
She'd probably just wake up. No!
Gwendolyn, are you... what's wrong?
And she just looks down at her hands. She frantically searches over for a bag, just rushing through, trying to feel. She pulls out Dale. I was there. I think I was there with Dale.
You were where with Dale?
And she just stares at Dale, just like almost confused, because she doesn't really know where she was. She can assume that she was in Alamora, but she doesn't particularly know. And looks back at Jarkster. I was in Alamora.
You were in Alamora? I don't understand. Did you have a dream?
No. I was there. Dale was leading me there. Do you? And she's like shaking Dale at him. This taxidermy. He showed me the way. She's starting to get into like a panic state.
It's okay. I'm sure Dale will reveal his reason for bringing you back when he looks a little less tired.
He's not talking to me right now. And she looks back at Dale and she almost wants to get up and just scream, but she looks back at Jarkser. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe I'm sorry. I thought it was real.
There's nothing to apologize for. I mean, if nothing else, it's clearly a sign. We have to be on the right path.
I hope so. I
know so.
And she puts her arms down, she puts Dale down, and she just looks at Jarkser. Thank you for grounding me. I should go back to sleep. Thank you, Jarkser. And she smiles and slowly but weirdly falls back down to go to sleep.
Good night, Gwen. We'll deal with this in the morning.
After he says that, she just shakes her head while on the ground and tries to go back to sleep.
And I'll walk over and kind of like raise the blanket and kind of pat her on the shoulder.
It'll be okay. It's just get a little more rest and we'll all talk about it in the morning.
You promise?
I promise.
And Gwen, if you were looking at Gwen, she's squeezing her eyes shut because she just wants to go back to sleep so badly just to feel that hint of fondness of Alamora.
Yeah, okay. So she starts to go back to sleep. Jox, are you just continuing to keep watch?
Yeah, I'll wait it out. I think that would have kind of stirred me enough to just stay up for a bit longer. I'll just kind of relax.
Sure. So you just kind of hang out and make a perception check as the sun starts to rise over the trees.
Okay, that will be an 11.
All right. You just kind of look through the forest and you're kind of on a sort of a trail. You know, you've got about a 25, 30 foot diameter clearing that you're in. The trees are a pretty good size here and pretty close to each other. Pretty thick forest, thick underbrush, and you've kind of moved, you started to move away from where the hills and everything were, moving more into the forest proper as you were kind of finishing out your travels. And you just see, you know, little bits of little motion through the underbrush of, you assume to just be critters, things that are either finishing up their night of scavenging and crawling around or beginning their day of doing so. Birds are kind of starting to wake and make their sounds. And you do notice the leaves, if those that aren't going to stay green all year, have started to change and shift. The season is shifting, and it's cool out. I mean, it's very, very cool. A slight cold breeze blowing through, and not unseasonably, not anything ominous, just that cool autumn breeze. And the sun over the next 10, 15 minutes makes its way up high enough to really shine down on everyone over the treetops. And it is full morning.
Rise and shine, everybody. It's time to start moving again, or at least waking up.
All right. It's time for another day of walking, my favorite thing.
It was a pretty quiet night overall. Someone was stirred in the morning, or in the evening.
Craigs, are you up?
I don't think I want to.
All right, but I don't think you really have a choice unless you want to sleep here while we travel without you.
I get up. I start putting my belongings back together and just like ready to travel. And then I sit there just grumpily like, ugh.
I don't want to walk.
Why can't I just fly?
I mean, technically he can.
True. That's true.
Gwendolyn sluggishly wakes up. She doesn't really say hello to anyone, and she just kind of packs. She's extremely tired. As much as she tried to go to sleep, back to sleep last night, she just had a hard time.
Well, a fine pair of faces we are all this morning.
Oh, it's making me think this is going to be a long, long day of travel. The way we all look.
I could definitely get the same feeling, Devin. We'll walk and talk when everybody's ready, but I think Gwendolyn needs to bring up a dream she had, or at least a vision, maybe?
Weird question. Do I remember the dream? I would assume I would.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember it for sure.
And you can see that Gwendolyn's trying to get her thoughts straight because she's exhausted. I was in Alamora. It might have been a dream, like Juxer was telling me, but it felt real. And she kind of just looks like the sad little kid that's like, no, it wasn't a dream, it was real. But she obviously doesn't know.
I mean, could have just been the stories you've heard? Were you...
No. I saw the gates. I saw the people. I felt the warmth of the city.
I mean...
Maybe it was a dream. She starts rubbing her eyes.
Imaginations are a pretty powerful thing. I mean, if this is what's really on your mind, it's not surprising that you could imagine what it would maybe look like.
Maybe. Dale doesn't even remember anything.
I mean,
it felt real.
Even if it were to be a dream, that there are plenty of religious beliefs that could be a sign that maybe we are heading in the direction. I mean, I just feel that maybe it's more of a foresight than anything. I'm not going to say that it's, you know, a dream by itself, but maybe it does mean something more.
Gwendolyn, look, I'm not discrediting your evening and the experiences you've had. I just want you to be aware and at least prepared. If this was a dream, and if the direction we're headed isn't headed towards, well, your father, or at least answers, I just want you to be prepared and not... I've been disappointed myself many times, and I don't want this to break you.
She just stares at you with puppy dog eyes. Okay. And she looks away.
Well, here's what I know. And Davin kind of stretches his arms out and presents the area around them. He says, it's not here. I can tell you that. So whichever direction we go is only more potential that we're going to get closer to it. So I say we just get up and start moving.
I said I didn't want to, but for Gwen, I guess I will. And I stand up and just stretch.
There's that energy I'm so used to seeing, Kriggs.
Shut it, monk.
Oh, maybe I should have fed you a couple more stout drinks. You're getting crankier every day.
You're not wrong. I could have taken a few extra.
Maybe I'll do my I'll do better next round.
I'm going to pull out the wand and I'm going to use it. I'm just going to create a bunch of food.
Okay.
I said, maybe if we get some good food in our stomach, that'll be help.
I'm going to go buy that food and I'm going to grab just like the largest portioned thing because it has no flavor. Just the biggest portioned item. I'm going to hold it up to Davin. And as I walk by, I'm just going to kind of sheepishly look with the do the thing as I hold it up and like make it taste like something.
Yeah, do the thing.
Flavor roulette, here we go. And I'll use prestidigitation to make it taste like sourdough bread.
And go. I take a bite as I'm walking north and just kind of keeping with my pack in hand. And I'm like, oh, this, it's not bad.
Just the right amount of sour.
A little tangy.
Awesome. Does everybody start following him as he goes north?
Sure.
I'll grab your food and go.
Grab a little food, a little water, and get
go ahead.
I'll look over at Craig's as he's kind of enjoying it, and then I'll think of the spiciest thing I've ever had, and then cast Prestidigitation. So it'll be like just biting into a jalapeno or something, or a habanero.
Davin, I think you need to work on your magics.
My magics are perfect.
That went from tangy to terror.
I don't think I did anything weird. All right, sorry, I'll try better next time.
I just thought you needed a little bit of pep, Kriggs. I just added a little spice to it.
I take the remaining food that I have in my hand and I just throw it at Joxer.
All right.
Full force.
Joxer, make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay, let's see. That will be 14.
Yeah, you dodge out of the way just right, and... Kriggs, as you turn and look, you guys have gotten about 100 yards away from where your camp was, and you see just a slew of critters and birds have kind of emerged from the forest and have kind of made their way to this pile of food that's left over from that spell. And so there's this little feeding frenzy going on over where you guys had camped. And you contributed to the meal of these creatures of the wilds whenever you cast that spell, as well as feeding yourselves. So
I'm going to shout back, enjoy the breakfast, and keep walking.
As you shout, you see a large blue bird fly down and just kind of like dive bomb the pile, and everything kind of splits out of the way and birds fly up out of his way, and he jumps back up with this giant loaf of bread looking thing and flies off into the distance. Creating this little bit of mayhem down there as little bits of that bread fall in places further away from the pile. And
I chuckle.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't eat the rice.
all right, I need everyone now, or somebody, anybody now, to please roll a d20 for me.
You know what? I'm going to do it. I never do these, and I always want to. Let's see. That's an 11.
Awesome. All right. You guys, as you walk through the through this kind of path, heading thicker and thicker, further and further into the wilds here, or into the forest here. Again, the hills on your left, the bottom of this mountain range that wild hill kind of sits in is kind of getting less and less visible because the trees are getting thicker and taller, and yeah, it's just kind of a low-key, simple journey currently. Any discussion, anything that needs to happen as you guys are just kind of walking? No, right now, no real interesting, crazy stuff is happening, it seems.
So I have a thing to talk about to a couple of you. I was definitely jealous about, you know, you having Dale.
I don't have Dale.
Well, no, I guess... So I have a little friend, and I'm not sure... Never mind, we'll just keep on going.
Do you have yourself a sweetie that you haven't told me about?
I definitely would not call spell slots a sweetie.
Because Giss has a sweetie, and he told me not to tell, but this feels like sweetie talk.
I mean, okay, so... Just Don't freak out anybody. I figure if we're going to be traveling a while, and I don't want the, I don't want.
Just get on with it, lad.
Davin moves away from Joxer.
Gwyn okay. looks at Dale and is like, is he going to pull out another Dale?
So I'll just kind of say spell slots under my breath, and then like a hand will just crawl up like under my cloak and then crawl onto my shoulder.
I immediately put my shield forward and say, by gods, what is that?
I what did I just say? I just thought this is spell slots. He's just here to help, is all.
That, what, how?
I'm telling you, Joxar, you're like 0 for 2 for not freaking people out with this thing.
I, you know.
Nice to meet you. And you see Gwendolyn run up as Joxar's talking.
Right, 1 for 3. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Goes of a handshake of some sort.
he'll just put out like his pointer finger and like wave it so you can grab his pointer finger.
I shake it.
What he like, does this thing eat? What?
He just jumps up a little bit and looks a little excited on my shoulder. No, he just exists, I guess.
Huh. Well, okay. Welcome to the party, spell slots.
He'll crawl up on my head.
Chocolate, I have a good idea. Why don't you put that other necklace on it and let me see if I can mind control it?
But I thought we weren't going to use it.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. We shouldn't play around with these things.
Yeah.
It does look good on me, though.
Have you taken that off since we put it on?
Well, what's the point of taking it off? It's not like somebody can control me. The other one's in your bag, right?
For now. Well, I thought, weren't we told that there could be another, I mean, there's another part of that that it could maybe control? I don't think that these were exclusive to each other.
I thought that there was only like 2 of each color or something like that.
We really suck at keeping tabs of our lore on these items.
Wait, are you talking as Blaze or Craig?
Oh, that's straight up Craig.
Or both.
Yes, both.
I mean, well, I've had it on for like a week.
Should have asked more questions.
I just, you know, maybe you shouldn't just wear it consecutively. Is all I'm saying.
I agree with Joxer.
I mean, I could take it for a spin if you wanted a break from the burden of carrying it. I mean, it does look good on you, but you know, I don't mind being a fancy boy for a day.
How do I feel about taking the thing off?
Do you say that again?
How do I feel about taking off the necklace?
Make a wisdom saving throw.
Interesting.
17 total.
You feel like you should. Like, if you, it's no big deal. If you want to take it off, just take it off.
I mean, you guys think there's something I should worry about with it?
I just don't trust it, is all.
All right.
You've been wearing it for a while, and I don't notice anything
That's a good
different
point.
About you, per se. But if there is a toll to be taken, it may not be an immediate. It might be best if we rotate out and have, like, keeping watch, in a way.
I'll take it off and I'll see if it makes any kind of difference, if you guys notice anything. And if not, maybe we'll decide after that. I do like it, though. And I'm going
to
detach and take off the necklace.
Make another wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
That's a 15.
Yeah, you take it off. No problem.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I'll put it back in my bag.
Okay.
Regardless, I'm going to keep spell slots around and try not to, you know, show them off to anybody else, but he might join us in a couple of battles or whatever we find ourselves in.
All right.
Well, I'm glad he got to join.
Thank you, Gwyn. I appreciate it.
Okay, so you continue to kind of march up the road, and
as we're marching,
yeah.
And if I can find a way in between the cadence of stepping and whatnot, I would like to somewhat sneakily mention to Gwyn that it's weird. We discussed him trading the necklace off. didn't give it up. He still has possession of it. And Joxer still has possession of the other one. And just mention, like, I guess I'll do it in character.
Good idea.
Here's all the things I'm going to tell you. But
yeah.
Yep. If we were playing D&D, this is what I would do.
Yeah, I get it.
One moment. Can you? I need a little advice about this plant. And as they kind of step away, don't you think it's kind of strange?
The Davin, plant?
No.
Davin, she's looking around for a plant.
Davin didn't seem to be able to relinquish the necklace, even though he took it off. He kept it in his possession, at least.
He did, didn't he?
I don't trust him, but I also fear for him. I we've seen magics that we don't understand, and I just think we need to keep an eye and make sure that your fears are not exactly unfounded about these necklaces. I just want to make sure that we're not, well, getting ourselves into something we're not prepared for.
That's fair. It is weird, isn't it? I knew we should have destroyed them, but
that's yet to be seen.
I'm with you. Dale and I will watch them.
Okay, thank you. So this is Yarrow, or I believe Queen's Anne's lace. What is this here? I say louder than I was previously speaking.
Gwyn looks at him, and she does an awkward wink. His name's Alfred.
Alfred just, the Yarrow.
Yes, just very awkwardly.
did they just name another plant?
No, they just yelled another plant.
That's true. It's probably Alfred's probably upset by now.
If he had yours, he'd be busted.
Grow. You just hear.
He loves sunlight.
He hates to hear. Apparently.
Yes.
And then I catch back up. I just wanted to have that moment because I am. Really
Man, if that was corn, it would be deaf.
Wow.
Because corn has a bunch of ears. Sorry. Okay.
All right. So you travel. You've traveled about half a day, and as you get through the into the second half of the day, the sun starts to really shine through. And while the morning was cool and crisp, the sun beating down kind of really warms things up, and. You find yourself sweating a little bit, feeling a little toasty. The day feels very clear and bright out, and the forest seems very alive. Things just as they should be. Let's somebody roll another D20 for me.
I'll do it. Oh, that's an 8.
Yeah,
I'll
so
do it. Joking.
No, I decided I'd do it. So the you're walking as you continue to walk. You get this waft of rancid air, this with the breeze, this smell of rot, something rotting ahead as you are walking.
Oh, Joxer, I know you said it doesn't eat, but can spell slots do other things? What is that smell?
This reminds me of you, Kriggs. What are you just dog? What did you eat?
If I had more food, I would throw it at you again.
No, spell slots doesn't defecate, and he doesn't see either. I don't think it'd be weird if he could smell. I'll look down. Can you smell?
He gives you a little finger shake. Back
I'm
gonna
and guess
forth,
not.
Like no,
yeah.
No.
No. Everyone make perception checks with your noses.
That's all right. You're
all right.
You're
everyone
lucky.
Make sniff checks.
Ooh,
oh my.
That's actually good.
Oh, I don't smell anything.
I don't smell anything.
I can't get to my plus.
I got a 10.
I got an 18.
Nope. I got a 7.
I got an 18.
Yeah,
I got a 15.
Kriggs and Joxer, it's definitely coming from somewhere. It was like on the breeze carried to you from up ahead of you. It's definitely not like with you guys.
Let's just be careful moving forward. Maybe quietly. I don't know what could make this smell, but...
Okay, that sounds good to me, Craig says as he's holding his nose and preparing to walk forward.
And I'm going to try to stealth. Like, I don't want to disturb something that smells like this if something's hanging around.
Can,
you see Gwendolyn taking in big, big doses of this wicked smell, just going through. It might be this way, and she's just pointing, and she doesn't like it, but she's still doing it. Her eyes are like closing. It's not great.
Smells pretty crunchy.
That's a good word for it, and takes in a big smell again.
Davin's already taken like a carrot that he had conjured earlier and broken up pieces, stuck it up his nose.
I rolled a 12 for stealth.
Okay, so he's going to move up ahead of you guys, going sneaky. Are you guys going to try to sneak too, or just let him go ahead, or just clamber along?
Okay, I'm going to let him go ahead and clamber along.
You don't stealth good.
I can't really stealth very well.
Okay, I'll try to back sneak. Too.
Last time I tried to stealth, I came out of the woods saying,
"Oh, that's right." I forgot about that.
Oh my god,
that was a while ago.
Before heading up there, I'll cast Mage Armor because I'm now super. Okay. Scared Great. Of everything.
Yeah, I'll be a few feet behind. I'll be a little ways.
All right. And Davin, you're going to stay back with Kriggs? Okay, so Kriggs and Davin kind of hang back.
Yes.
Joxer moves up and starts to stealth around while Gwendolyn carefully walks behind, keeping a little bit of a distance. You walk this way for a good little while, and probably 10, 15, 20 minutes pass, and you come across, in the middle of the road, you come across a couple corpses. And they look humanoid. One looks kind of a smaller size, and the other looks a little bit larger. Like not large, but like more like medium human type size. And both of them shaped, more humanoid looking. But you're kind of at a distance to where it's hard to make out any details from this perspective.
Is there anything that I can see on like the edges, or is there any visibility that's
make
like
a perception around? Check.
Okay. Hey, that's a 17.
You kind of scan the tree line along this pathway that you're on, and you don't really see any. You don't see any movement. No movement catches your eye. No figures. Nothing like that catches your eye. You really don't even feel an unease. You even kind of still hear, and Gwen, you'll notice this too, as you probably, with him standing and looking, you probably happen upon him at this point behind him while he's kind of been sneaking up. You finally catch up, and you also, you notice, you hear the birds chirping and critters kind of crawling through the woods like normal. Like it doesn't seem like they've been disturbed in any way recently.
Those poor people. Yeah, I make my way towards them.
Okay.
I'll, Kriggs and Davin, were you following, like, way behind, or did you just wait 20 minutes behind?
I'm not. I mean, I can still see you. I would not let you out of my sight.
Okay. Then you'll see me kind of wave you guys on like it seems okay, but I'll still be a little leery about walking up.
Okay.
All right. I'll move forward.
As they move forward to catch up, Joxer, are you going to move up towards the bodies or just let Gwen do that?
Yeah, I'd have just been a little bit behind her.
So Gwen, you know, walks right up behind, and she starts to kind of look and see what there is to see. Joxer's kind of hanging back a little bit, almost peeking over her shoulder just to see if anything happens to Gwendolyn so he can jump in if necessary. Gwen, what do you want to... You approach and you do see what looks like a halfling woman. And you see a regular sized, some sort of male human, it looks like, laying there as well.
Are these who I think it is?
You can make an investigation check as you look at them carefully.
Hey, everybody, it's me, your favorite local Starbucks. Sorry, this is like our fifth take, because I can't be a person. I'm here with Blaze. Hello, Blaze.
What's up?
Your friendly neighborhood local farmer.
Yeah, that's me.
So I want to read a couple of reviews here that you guys sent in. We put out the call and you answered. I don't know why you would answer any call, but thank you. It shows a degree of love and respect that I don't have for anyone. Anyway, thank you so much, Tom and Thomas H. For your review, Thomas H. says, fun adventure, great chemistry. This actual play podcast is fun to listen to. I would hope so. The characters have a great chemistry, and the story is developing into a fun mix of classic adventure and mysteries. Thank you so much, Thomas. That's such a great
review. Thanks, Thomas. Let's be real. That chemistry is probably 100% Davin.
Let's be real. It's Dale. Our next review is from Brett Nelson. Thank you so much, Brett. An awesome D&D podcast. All caps. It's a great story with great characters, not to mention a great editor. I love how the DM makes the journey of walking to a mountain the most epic trip ever, which is amazing because that's legit just the storyline of Lord of the Rings. So that comparison, beautiful. I also
is Dale
love...
the Ring?
Oh, Dale of the Rings. I can't. It's too much. I also love how each person really gets into their role. They start thinking, what would my character do? Instead of, what would I do? Keep up the awesome work. Make sure you follow them on Facebook and Twitter for all the behind the scenes goofs and gags.
Oh, the goofs and gaffs. Yeah, for sure. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Brett, are you a plant? Brett, I'm going to need you to confirm that you're not a robot. Please select Brett, please select all squares that are stoplights.
Blink three times if we're holding you hostage, Brett. Brett.
Are you okay, Brett? That was a good joke. Brett, I need you to select the stop signs.
I need you to finish this captcha. Select all the boats, Brett. Which is a boat.
Thank you so much to our listeners. Well, not my listeners. Although I guess you're listening to me now. And now. You're mine. For submitting these reviews, if you would like me to say your words to you and more people, please write a review for The Hired Swords on your favorite podcasting app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Well, Spotify, I don't think you can write a review. What else you got? Where can these wonderful people leave reviews?
Podchaser, I think, is where we got some of these cultivated from. I mean, anywhere that you can leave a review, usually it ends up someplace. And honestly, all of them, any review helps the show and just makes us feel like absolute gold stars. So,
once again, if you want people to make podcasts, you have to tell other people that they make podcasts and that they're good. So they'll listen to them and they'll tell other people that they like their podcasts.
Gwen, what do you see? As I walk up a little bit more.
Gwen is a bit speechless. She's trembling as she touches over the carcass to see where the wounds were, what happened, and whatnot. And if it's who I think it is, I'm going to be very upset as a player. Oh, no.
Is that
investigation? 7 plus 2.
Okay, the...
9.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, not really having... Seeing Gwen at this speed and how close she's gotten to whatever is in the road and not really having an aversion to death as I've come into contact with it many times, I would have approached it as well. So if possible, I'd like to also make an investigation check.
Sure. You can make it while I explain what she saw, because I think you're going to kind of walk up on her a little bit after she has done this, just from the distance you were behind her. But, you definitely can make one as you walk up, look over her as she's kneeling down. Yeah. You do feel over the wounds and you look real closely and you can tell that the face is of both of these people is barely recognizable as a face, much less whose face, right? It's been scratched and bitten and pecked. There are no eyeballs. There's no tongue. On either one of them. They're both just laying there. They've been there and having had scavengers have already had their way with most of what these bodies had. You don't find any identifying anything that seems familiar to you either. Kriggs, what did you roll?
Okay. 19
so Kriggs,
plus
as
zero.
You approach, you see instantly that the one, the larger is a male human. You can there is a ear left and there is some feature that makes it pretty clear to you that this was not an elf. It was a human. The people Gwendolyn's thinking of was an elf and a halfling. Yes.
Mariah Sinidi for those listening and remember.
Yeah.
So, and this halfling even is quite thin, quite small, very fit, more of a like lean kind of person, like a more
as
round,
opposed to,
rotund kind of halfling, or even more like a buff swole.
Right. I mean, like how old are the corpses? Mm-hmm. Like I've been around bodies and had to bury soldiers and had to do things like that. The decay process, how can I determine a rough estimate of how long these corpses have been here? Because the smell
that would be
a long time.
Medicine check. And I'll let you make it with advantage because of your background.
Sure. 16 plus 1, so 17.
All right, so with a 17, it's hard to know exactly, like, oh, they died 6 weeks ago. But you definitely, from the fact that there are no scavengers around, meaning there's not anything left for them to feast on here, and the fact that they've been kind of opened up from, you know, chest to waist, the insides have been eaten. You can see like a spine through the gut where the guts would be, even though they're laying on their back. Like they're just emptied out by scavengers. They've been here. They had to have been here days, if not weeks. And they are. And for as you kind of looked earlier with your regular perception check, you also see that they aren't carrying any kind of weapons or anything. They're not wearing armor. They're wearing just normal kind of commoner's clothes. And they have
like sigils or regalia of any kind of like townships or anything that would
have, both of them have pouches on their waist that they're carrying. And they're the bigger male guy has three small pouches, and he has one quite large one there that has been kind of ripped open. And there seems to be some sort, like, there seems to have been something eating or going into what was inside of that. Like it was digging in and trying to, something has kind of dug into that bag and it's torn up into pieces and shredded in places because of that as well.
Okay. Gwen, this is obviously what we were smelling, these very, very poor folk here. I was afraid this may have been our friends Marius and Edie from Wild Hill, but this male is definitely not an elf. It's clearly not them. If you look at the ear, it's a human ear as opposed to an elven ear. It's intact. So luckily we know that they are at least safe, at least as far as we know.
I hope they are, but what could have done this? It's been picked so bad, I can't even tell where the first blow landed.
It's definitely a sight to behold out in the wilds and up north here. I'm not sure what vermin or creature might be here that may have been able to pick a body apart quite like this, but if nothing else, do you all think we should pay at least a moment to put to rest these folk, whatever fate they may have had? Do we have time to maybe at least find a small burial or small service or ceremony, whatever we can give to at least put these souls to rest?
I don't mind. Did they have anything on them? I see a couple bags. Maybe we could look to see if maybe they have anything in there that maybe might identify them before we try to put them to rest.
I mean, absolutely. If you have no problem, Gwen, I would like to maybe see if they have identification or something we might be able to get some more information from. Would you be bothered by that, or?
I think it's we need a right to know who we're burying.
Exactly.
She shrugs and just, not really shrugs, but she just sighs, I guess, and gets the pouches and passes it to each person. Because you said there was like four pouches.
Yeah, she's
total.
Got a pretty good size one. He has got one large one.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. I take the halflings first and hand it to Droxer, and then crawl over to where the male was and take his pouches. Pass
when
one
pass,
to Davin, one to Kriggs.
One of the smaller pouches, it jingles. Ching! When you get it.
Davin will take it and he kind of shakes it a little bit. Sounds like coin.
Yeah, inside are a few coins, gold coins, and one much larger golden coin. And if you look at it closely, it is a hired sword coin.
I pull it out and I show it to everybody. It looks like they weren't just regular commoners.
Oh. Why would they not have weapons?
Kind of reluctantly, but also assured in his actions, I'm gonna hold my hand out to Davin, just like, I'll take that.
Okay. I'll hand it over.
I pocket that, so I have a second, or technically a third hired sword coin at this point.
Yes, you do.
What about the other ones?
I'll go ahead and open my pouch that was handed. I don't know which one I have, but you're the boss.
I will look at the one that was torn open.
So you look inside the one that's torn open, and there's not much left in there, but you can see what's left of little crumbs of mushrooms and roots and different like bits of foraging items, things that had been foraged. And it seems like something with, while some creatures were feasting on the flesh, some other creatures that preferred an easier meal than hunting or looking for stuff themselves went ahead and feasted on some of the stuff in this pouch as well. And then Kriggs, as you look into your pouch, you see a collections of herbs and things folded into pieces of cloth and labeled. And they're labeled in common, and there's a stack of several of them that say for bandages. There's a couple that say for illness, and this is a herbalist kit that has kind of labeled items for kind of like natural remedy for different things that somebody may be experiencing. On
does it seem?
Yeah, they
pretty
seem
well
to be
preserved.
Fine. Nothing's really messed with these. It doesn't seem okay. Like.
Gwen, I believe we have ourselves a project with this potentially. This is new to me. Maybe there could be some use for these medicinally. That is, these herbs.
Oh, let me see, and she'll stand
hand
up
over the kit
and look at the kit.
Kind of point out that they're labeled for different things.
Okay.
Gwen looks down at the guy and thank you for this gift. I'm sorry. And
I
she
salute.
Goes back.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I just feel like it's appropriate. Okay. I do a salute.
What is the salute of the dwarven armies? Like, what is the motion that is done to salute?
The dwarven... For those that didn't see, we have cameras on, and Derek is being a fool. The dwarven salute is kind of a very... It's less arms and more just stature, more stance. You stand very straight, kind of click feet together, and you kind of pose very soldierish in a way. But arms are at the side, and you basically just look kind of like one of the... In the dwarven towns and in the dwarven cities, they have statues that guard its lore for dwarven time and heroes that we've had. You have the large statues of the heroes of old, and you stand very similar to those statues as they protect the city. And that is the dwarven salute, is to just stand tall and strong for as tall as you can be.
All right. Cool.
And really I'll kind of bow my head and then start looking through the bag that I have.
Okay, the bag that you have is, yeah.
It was from the halfling.
That bag is full of small vials that they all contain different colored, like powdered substances, different things. And these are not labeled, but there's some that are short, like a lower amount than others. And like some have been used, some haven't, but they've got these small vials, probably 2.5-3 inch tall vials with little corks in the top of them. And there's probably 12 of these little vials in there. No, actually, there's a couple red, like, different shades of red. And there's a couple green, a few green ones. They look like they have some sort of like herb of some kind, like small, like smashed down bits of green plant. Different sizes though, like they look a little different shades of green. Just a little collection of some sorts of items like that.
That Joksha, that there, is that a an alchemist kit of sorts. I've seen similar in forging. We do a lot with various chemical components in order to achieve different metal states, but it's similar. The powders and whatnot looks almost like a form of alchemy. I've heard lots of tale of these.
Yeah, I believe I saw a couple of these in the monastery, or at least something similar. I'll have to see if I can recognize some of these herbs in here, and maybe I can use them.
I'm curious, though, to what seem like hired swords, this far north, without weapons, unless they were jumped, perhaps, and their weapons taken from them, the scene here, the story isn't really telling itself.
I can agree. Unless they randomly ran out of food and starved right here in the center, I couldn't...
I can't imagine that. They seem ample adventurers with their kits and their pack. It's not, as unprepared as we've been before.
Yeah, and I mean, if this were done by an animal, wouldn't they have kind of dragged them about? Why would they be sitting here together? Like, I don't understand.
We also only found just one coin, so it's possible they just found it, maybe?
Maybe a rescue mission? Or, I mean, who knows at this point?
I mean, who carries three different pouches on them? Maybe it belonged to somebody else that was with them.
Maybe, but where are they? Why? I also feel it as an animal since these pouches are here. If I was a traitor, I would have taken them. Taken the bandages.
Can I search the area and see if I see tracks?
Sure. Of any Make an investigation check.
Coming or going?
Granted, it has been like weeks and stuff. I'd also kind of just look around because I'm not too sure how I'm feeling about the story of these just laying here. It feels too set up and too weird.
You also make an investigation.
16.
Look at that. We got a 16
too.
We interlock our arms and we start walking.
We're off to look for tracks.
Look at that.
Tracks of nefarious
mean. We're combing the desert.
So you look around and. You see animal tracks here and there, nothing big, nothing scary, just, and even those seem like they've been there a while. Nothing, there's definitely no signs of struggle or scuffle of any kind that are left behind right now. Well, yeah, weird answer.
Question. Is there any signs that they could have exploded? Like something burst out of them?
Yeah, look.
Like I'm talking some alien.
Why don't you make a medicine check alien? Now?
Like,
look real close at him as you lean down.
If you just sussed this out, I'm going to lose it.
What did you say? I'm sorry, I blanked because I was rolling.
Medicine.
9 plus 4, 13.
Not too bad. Why don't you make a nature check as well? They make a nature check as well.
Right.
You want them to have exploded, don't you?
That one's even better. I do.
What kind of sick, twisted dream are you?
17.
Do I smell Darnaldi?
He cast exploding innards on them. 17?
17.
That's
plus
that's
6.
Good. Okay, so it's hard to tell what happened to these bodies. Like, as you look real close, you're like, I don't know enough about the human body to know what's going on, but you do know a lot about creatures, animals, the critters, and you see bite marks and claw marks pressing that have, and it's very obvious that the chest cavity and the stomach and everything have been caved in and bitten in and chewed in by some sorts of predators, potentially like coyote, wolves, maybe even a bear, but nothing really looks that big. But it's definitely been the insides of them have been concaved in and smushed in by creatures, by animals of some kind. You also, though, notice the human, their spine has been severed, their spinal cord and their spine, as you can look real close. And as you see, there is no way that clean of a cut could have been done by an animal's claw or teeth. There had to have been a blade of some kind stabbed through where the gut would be and through the back of the spine of this person.
So not
said
explosion.
All that to say, I'm sorry, they did not explode.
Dang it. I think I found the cause.
Well, what's
I
that?
Think you, think you guys might have been right. And as gross as it is, I dive in to where the spine is and I move whatever insides are there. I'm sorry. And she moves everything aside and...
and Davin to be honest with me. Who should be making a constitution saving throw for looking, watching her do this? Davin for sure.
Oh, Davin.
Kriggs may be fine.
Kriggs
he's kind of a tough. He's been through some stuff. What about Joxer?
I'm probably okay.
I feel like being in... I mean, this specifically is a little rough, but I don't think that with as much drinking as he's done... Some things are
iron stomach. Okay.
Yeah. Like
Davin, what'd you roll?
Confused, but
Davin probably wouldn't be very good except for he can smell is that little bit of carrot up in his nose. So he rolled a 24.
But it doesn't smell like carrot if it doesn't have flavor or scent.
As it rises up in Davin's esophagus, he swallows it back down and it just becomes a burp. And one of the carrots shoots out of his nose from the burp kind of going up into his nose and pops out.
As one booger pops out.
Man, that was for you, my kids listening.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it.
I don't forget them. Don't worry.
And as you look, you all do look down and see it's as she points it out. It's a clean sever of bone and spinal cord right there at the back of this the lower torso of this body.
Do you see it? It looks like he was stabbed in the back, and I bet happened to the halfling too.
Oh, and Gwen's. I see it. I didn't need. That's fine.
I do the same thing to the halfling.
Uh-huh.
I move over and I go to see if I can find the same puncture wound.
David walks away. I'm gonna go find us a place to bury him.
Yeah, as.
The first time, I think Kriggs was okay. The second time, I'm definitely feeling a little squeamish because she is all about it.
All right.
Yeah, that's a 7.
I apologize to the halfling before I do it.
Yeah, that makes it way
I'm
better.
I'm apologizing
so
to them. Gwen
Kriggs,
leave him hanging.
Kriggs has trouble fighting. His mouth fills with vomit, and he has to let a little bit of that spicy sourdough kind of come out of his stomach there and kind of dump that out.
I'm gonna, after that event, Gwen, please, we can just flip her over if there's an entry wound, come on.
Are you okay? And she just looks up with her little blood hands.
I think Joxer is literally just like, he can't be grossed out at how confused, like he's just in awe at what he just watched. One of those things that he doesn't even know what to do right now. He's just... What did I just watch?
Can someone press the digitize my brain, please?
Gwendolyn looks at her hands. I just wanted to... Now we know. Now we can, look for someone.
You're right, Gwen.
And blood is flowing everywhere.
Yeah. Just prestidigitation.
Yeah, the blood turns into these little particles, and the magic just kind of absorbs them as they go off your hands. And you do note it.
You just see Gwen twinkling with all the
anime
style. Off. There's a pink screen with flowers, and she's just.
And there are you are able to see, though, Gwen, as you did get your hands in there a little bit, that she doesn't have like a severed spine, but there are organs in there that are cut in half, like she's been sliced across the stomach or something that caused what's left of these organs to be sliced. So similar conclusion that she was also killed with some sort of sharp, very sharp blade, large sharp blade.
Large, not like
a rapier. It doesn't feel
style,
like a rapier,
like a
and it definitely doesn't feel like a knife or dagger. It definitely feels like somebody's, long sword or great sword or something like that. Just especially that spine one. It's just like, boom, severed.
All right. With that coin, I fear that it might have been a double crossing if there was a third here.
I wouldn't put it past the denizens of Wild Hill previous to our stay, but I guess all that's left is to montage the burial.
Davin, where's... Did you find anything? Oh god, is that vomit?
We're nothing. We're nothing if not self-aware, isn't that?
Actually, Davin finds a place that looks like pretty nice under a like a nice big tree, and he's going to use mold earth, and I can instantly excavate up to 5 feet of dirt and just can take it out. So I'm just going to make 2 quick graves over here. Just bring them over.
Nice.
How are we carrying them?
I'm going to take out my bedrolls and or my bedroll and just try to roll one in it and take one at a time.
I was about to say, Gwyn probably picks up the halfling, but she sees Draxer roll the other one, and she's like, I'll let him do it.
I let both of you do whatever you're going to do. Have fun.
All right, so you take the bodies over and lay them gently as possible into the grave. And are you able to use that spell to put the dirt back on them?
If loose earth, I can instantly excavate it, move it along the ground, and deposit it up to 5 feet away. So I would assume I could do it the other way as well.
If not, I'm not. I mean, if you want to save your slots or whatever,
it's
I'm
a more than cantrip.
Oh, by all means.
Yep. It can also cause the ground around me to become difficult terrain.
That's
or difficult. I can do shapes, colors, and make it appear like stone. I can spell out words. Create images. Well, I can do a bunch of stuff with this thing.
As Davin,
I just got a hammer.
You guys are kind of mourning. You're standing and you're just kind of like, not mourning necessarily, but just kind of getting over not only what you've seen with the bodies, but also Gwendolyn's kind of nonchalant handling of these corpses and her
show.
Like CSI Miami style morgue mortician. And Davin begins to push the dirt back and he starts to kind of try extra stuff, and I think Davin gets a little distracted by the fact that he can like make some shapes and do some stuff. So as the dirt goes towards to fill these graves, it starts to kind of change colors a little bit sometimes. And then a patch of dirt will go and just look like rock falling onto them. And what else does he do?
He names them. He just writes in the dirt above each grave, Candace and Byron.
Awesome.
When he does that, do we see electricity?
Yeah, the electric pulse just kind of through the name as it writes. It's like the electricity is writing the name.
Gwyn bends down and places her hands that still have blood on them on both the graves and just says flowers in Elvish, which I think is Loth. And flowers. She's speaking to plants.
And yeah, the flowers that are nearby kind of lean that direction and start to kind of grow up towards from the dirt there, just a few, and we have a successful burial, and that will be the conclusion of this episode of the Hired Swords. Thankfully they're not us on this time,
rolling corpses across the ground.
Yep, there you go.
Did you say Candace and Byron?
Candace and Byron.
Those are some good names.
Thank you for listening to this episodic installment of The Hired Swords. I bet you weren't expecting that throwback. We really appreciate you joining us for this adventure. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend about us. And if you really enjoyed it, leave a review. Be sure to check out our shop at thehired.store. And if you want to keep up with us and what we're up to, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. And again, thank you for listening.
Roll for Romance is a 5e actual play D&D podcast featuring 5 friends thirsty for D20. If you're a fan of body jokes, ribald one-liners, and heaps of romance.
Romance? In my D&D? Why, I never.
Why, in my day, we played Dungeons & Dragons the good old-fashioned way. No need for aphrodisiacs.
From sexy shenanigans to star-crossed lovers, each episode is ribbed for your oral pleasure.
I think I've got the vapors.
Oh my!
Here's an out-of-context sneak peek.
Damn it, Melace. Chadley's a squirrel, not a doctor.
Madam, I take out the trash, not pleasure it.
Are you gonna finally kiss me, sugar? Or do I have to lie to my diary again?
I'll probably waste away from some tragic disease.
Roll for Romance, where every NPC has a +5 to sexy. Episodes are published every other Thursday. Find us on your favorite podcast platforms.